10 days ago, the federal government announced that it was abolishing its controversial arts fund, Catalyst. Now, if you're a regular listener to Books and Arts, you'll know the backstory to all this. In 2015, the arts minister, Senator George Brandis, caught everyone by surprise when he transferred more than $100 million from the Australia Council for the Arts to a new arts outfit called the National Programme for Excellence in the Arts. And this was a controversial move because it gave the minister direct control over which artists and organisations were funded, a break with the notion that's almost an article of faith in Australia, that arts funding should be allocated at arm's length from the government, the principle being that artistic merit and not politics should determine which artists get support. Well, when Senator Mitch Fifield became the arts minister in 2015, he returned some of the money to the Australia Council and changed the name of Brandis's fund to Catalyst. And now Catalyst itself is being wound up. Let's find out what it all means. The CEO of the Australia Council is Tony Grabowski. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, Michael. Great to be with you.
So the big question, what does this mean for the Australia Council? There's no Catalyst anymore. Where does this leave you guys?
Well, I think it's the minister's announcement of $81 million returning to us from the 1st of July next year, I think is such a significant endorsement of the work and the role of, that the Australia Council plays in the arts sector. We've been driving a reform agenda over the last 3 years. That reform was a response to an independent review, extensive consultation, and indeed, when we started the reform on the preparation for our strategic plan, further consultation. But what it means in the short term is obviously a transfer of funds and responsibilities. And it was terrific that part of that is $32 million, which the minister announced in 15. But it's a reconfirmation that funding is ongoing. We will take over the $12 million of Catalyst projects, which have been awarded since the inception of that program. That's 170 contracts, and I should say that the vast majority of those are well known to us. So it's our objective to ensure a smooth transition.
Right. So just to clarify that, so Catalyst, yep. The Catalyst undertakings will be honoured, and the Australia Council will now oversee those. That's how that works.
Correct. Right. Exactly.
All right. Yep. Now, how much money do you now have? I mean, if I look at the situation, the year before the Brandis measures came in, you had a budget of $212 million. Next year, your budget is $209 million. That doesn't sound too bad, but how much of that money is already tied up or committed?
Well, the uncommitted funds, as we say, for this as part of this announcement over the next 4 years is approximately $25 million. We'll invest those funds into our direct investment into individual artists, groups of artists, and small to medium sector through our open grants program. Now the impact of that will be seen as it increases over the 4 years, because obviously as the Catalyst commitments conclude and the available funds, which will go into our grants program, will increase. So in the first year, be approximately $3 million, ramping up over the 4 years up to the 2019-20 year.
So for those artists who've been thinking everything's going back to the way it was, we can all cheer because we'll be getting out the money that we thought we were going to get, then we didn't get. Now the good old Australia Council will give us the money after all. That's not going to happen because a lot of this money is already tied up in the consequences of Catalyst. And also, I gather from the Opera Review, which has been commissioned by the government, and you're going to have to implement that, I understand.
Look, yes, there was an independent review of the opera sector done by Dr. Helen Nugent, and that review was presented to the government, and the government has responded to some of those recommendations. And again, the minister has advised that that a small amount of money will be used to support some of those opera companies in that first phase. But as I said, we'll be taking over the Catalyst commitments and grants, and many of those are well known to us and have previously had or do have a funding relationship with the Australia Council. So again, it's absolutely our commitment to ensure that the sector is not disturbed and that transition of contract management will be incredibly smooth. Because at the end of the day, our interest is ensuring that this wonderful creative sector, arts organisations of all size, are supported to create great work. And one of my objectives this year is to, while the focus has been on arts funding over the last couple of years, you know, necessarily as we've gone through this significant change, I want to shift the conversation to about the art, the great work that individual artists do, the broad healthy ecology for which is such a significant part of this nation.
Well, for maintaining a healthy ecology, the question we all have to ask is, what have we learnt from all this?
Well, I think one of the learnings is I suppose clarity. Arts organisations are focused on creating art, and they don't want to have to be worried about, you know, when there's a closing date, when am I going to learn, can I commit to that overseas tour. So I think what we have learned is that clear communication about the funding opportunities available. And I think it's also very important to remember that, look, the Australia Council plays a national and very important role in supporting the arts sector, but we're only one part. Local governments are massive in support of the arts and cultural sector, as the state governments are, and we're having very regular conversations with those, some formal conversations about how we support the arts. So going through change, working together, collaborating, understanding what the changes mean, but ultimately making it as clear as possible so that the artists and the arts organisations understand the opportunities that are available to them.
Well, also the politicians understand that this kind of clarity is important. Is that message getting through?
Well, look, our role as an arts advocate and nationally and internationally, but also working as a federal agency, working with the government of the day, we have had unprecedented contact with the departments and the minister and the minister's office. It's our role to communicate issues that we're observing, statistics, data, analysis, and the success stories, so that they're as well informed to address the policy issues as they are able.
Tony, when you say you're an arts advocate, there were people in the arts who were looking to the Australia Council to take a stand through the Catalyst period. Was that not possible for you to be more of a voice in the public conversation about this?
Look, I advocate for the arts probably every day of my life, and it's funny walking into the ABC studio here in Ultimo, which is where I started my career nearly just short of 30 years ago when I had a period with the ABC. But our role as an arts advocate is implicit in our functions in the Act and reflected in our strategic plan and our engagement with the sector. We draw on extensive history of 40 plus years of knowledge and engagement. We have extensive data collection and research. Our international engagement is for incoming visitors, but also to the delegations we take, is about promoting the value of the arts, the wonderful arts ecology that sits here. We support artistic freedom of expression through our open grants program, assessed by some of the country's leading peer assessors. We also develop capacity in the thinking of our leaders. Now, as a federal government agency, working with the government of the day in providing advice, knowledge, and what is occurring in the sector, this is how we advocate. We don't advocate through write letters demanding money or do a lobbying campaign. It's through all those other means to promote the value and the importance of the Australian arts sector, and our community. The people in Australia, in our recent search, our participation research, has found that 9 out of 10 Australians agree that arts enrich daily life and make their lives more meaningful.
Tony, I guess that most of us in the arts want to see a situation in which arts funding has bipartisan support, so that we don't end up with a politicisation of the arts or the suspicion that a minister has his own agenda. What has to happen for that to be the case, because it is inevitable that we will see in the mix of art some art that has a political story to tell. I mean, we're going to see plays, maybe even an opera or two, that say give a human face to asylum seekers, for example.
And that is the wonderful role that the arts can take, telling our stories, the contemporary stories that are shaping our nation and influencing our thinkers. And the role of our agency to assess the many thousands of applications that we receive. And just as an example, I mean, in the last five rounds, in 15 and 16, we've assessed over 7,500 applications. Wonderful dynamic ideas from our artists right across the country. Now, I would love to fund, you know, all of those, but within our means and the capacity, we've funded about 1,281, about a success rate of about 17%. My ultimate objective is to grow the mechanisms of support from government and from other areas over time to ensure that a greater number of artists are supported. But the other thing that we've learned, the overwhelming message and voice from the sector is that peer assessment by using some of our expert peers, the practitioners from all parts of the country, from all demographics, to make the assessment on those grants, to give those that are most excellent, if you like, or that meet the criteria. And that helps government make some of those decisions so that those stories, be it challenging or somewhat controversial, are supported.
Tony, if I read Brandis correctly, one of his beefs with the Australia Council was that he thought it was a closed shop. He thought it was artists giving money to artists, and that the kind of audiences that he identified with were closed out of the process. He wanted to see what he called art for art's sake, which was clearly the kind of art that he regarded as excellent. How can you assure people like Brandis, who are sceptical about the Australia Council, that it isn't a closed shop? It isn't just a group of artists pursuing their own agendas for their mates?
Well, as part of our reforms, which again came out of a review and we're working under a new act, the Australia Council Act 2013, there's a number of significant reforms. One was an open accessed grant program. We went from 154 categories down to 5. Now that, and again, with the objective that the artist should be focusing on their ideas and the work that they're creating, rather than the complexity of finding retrofitting their idea into a predetermined box. The result of that, we've seen of those 2,000 that we've supported in the last couple of years, 20% are new. 20% are new from that hadn't received support before. Reflecting, I think, the changing nature of our community and the new arts practice, which is emerging. We also support that through diverse peer pool. One of the other significant reforms is moving away from government-appointed art form-specific panels to a peer pool. We now have over 600 of the leading artists from around the nation on our peer pool. We select from those to make the decision. So that diversity is ensuring that the plurality of voice, diversity of gender and other demographics is assessing those applications that we receive. And I think that's how we achieve a very broad voice.
As we wind up, Tony, looking back at Catalyst and the Program for Excellence in the Arts, how big a mistake were they?
Look, it's not my role to judge government policy. We're thrilled, obviously with the decision.
Hang on, you're an advocate for the arts. You told us that's where we started.
I'm an advocate for the arts, but it's not my role to judge government policy. But as I said earlier, we welcome those contracts back. The vast majority of them have had a funding relationship or are currently funded by the Australia Council, so we'll ensure their smooth transition back to the Australia Council.
Tony, thanks for joining us. Let's talk again very soon.
Look forward to that.
And Tony Grabowski is the CEO of the Australia Council for the Arts. And we've put in a request to speak to the Minister for the Arts, Senator Mitch Fifield, and hopefully he'll be on our program again very, very soon. And I'd love to know what you make of the rather short-lived but very controversial Catalyst Fund. You can let us know on Facebook, on Twitter. Perhaps you're associated with one of the many organisations who've benefited from Catalyst funding. It'd be nice to hear from you. Laura's got in touch with us and she's not happy. She said it's good that the funding's going back to the council and once more will be at arm's length from the minister's office. But I couldn't help but think what a waste of time, skills, energy and money it was to be removed in the first place. I propose, she says, that George Brandis personally pays the amount of taxpayers' money spent in setting up his ridiculous and egocentric folly into power and glory in the arts to the Australia Council, and therefore giving misspent public funds to artists to create artworks and subsequently discouraging any future ministers into creating ego works. But we've been contacted by David Handley, who is the founding director of Sculpture by the Sea in Sydney, which is a marvellous event, and he's had a very positive experience with Catalyst. Hi, David. Thanks for getting in touch.
Good morning. How are you?
So what's happened, David? What was your encounter with Catalyst?
Well, we found the ministry very open, very engaging. Unlike, quite frankly, we've been shunned by the Australia Council for 21 years or 20 years. The first 7 years of Sculpture by the Sea, we couldn't even get a meeting with the Australia Council until the Federal Minister for the Arts intervened to force them to have a meeting with us.
So you're one of those people who has viewed the Australia Council as a closed shop.
Absolutely, and most of the sculptors, I would say 90% of the sculptors of Australia would regard it the same way.
Right, so what do you see as being the Australia Council's agenda? What do you think they're about that closes out your very popular event?
I think partly that word, popular. I think partly the arts has a small fund of money, and so people want that money to go where they want it to go, as opposed to viewing matters objectively. So the peer assessment panels may work in other art forms. They definitely don't in sculpture. It's as if those who are putting up the people to be peer assessors are in favour of classical music and they don't like jazz. So suddenly classical music's being funded and not jazz music. And that's how it very much is with sculpture. It's only a certain type of sculpture that is favoured by the Australia Council.
So you've approached Catalyst, and how have you done? What sort of funding have you received?
Well, it was interesting. The first time around, the two peer assessors at Catalyst, one rated us off the charts. They said the ministry said no other arts organisation has received this level of score through the peer assessment panel. The other peer assessor said we weren't worth funding. And this is a fundamental problem with the peer assessment panel. If the individuals aren't objective, they only want to fund what they want to fund. And it's certain individuals who put up the peer assessors. And with our Australia Council funding, we weren't even told who the peer assessors were or if they'd even seen Sculpture by the Sea. We were denied that information. So we had a fundamentally different response from the ministry in terms of being fair, reasonable, open and talking with us compared to the response we had from the Australia Council. And unlike the Australia Council, where on most years we receive no funding and on average about $9,000 or $10,000 per show, we received $250,000 a year from Catalyst. In saying that, I do understand that the Catalyst Fund process was very, very disruptive for many arts organisations and it could have been handled better in the first instance. However, our organisation was never properly looked after, never properly regarded, so we found it a very different experience.
And you imagine, David, that this might now have opened a door into the Australia Council since the Australia Council is back in charge?
Well, we will be administered by the Australia Council and we very much are going into this next 3.5 years with an open mind, and we hope they will as well. It's really been quite dumbfounding for those of us involved with Sculpture by the Sea. And for my part, when I was 31 and had the doors shut in our face, it was quite frankly a loss of innocence.
Well, David, I'm a great fan of Sculpture by the Sea. It's an event I've enjoyed immensely on the occasions I've managed to catch up with it. So thanks so much for getting in touch.
Thank you very much.
David Handley is the founding director of Sydney Sculpture by the Sea, speaking up there for Catalyst. And I'd love to hear from you if you're an arts organisation that has done well out of Catalyst or had good relations with the Program for Excellence in the Arts, because we've heard a lot of criticism about that that innovation, that experiment. But it'd be good to hear from people who are on the winning side of the ledger as well. You can talk to us on Facebook, you can talk to us on Twitter, or just contact us at the top of our webpage. I'm Michael Cathcart, and this is Books and Arts.